We've got two very experienced life risk practitioners in Rod Berry, who's a specialist in the group risk industry for over 16 years, currently a senior actuary at RGA, specialising in group risk. Our other very experienced life risk practitioner is James Collier, who is very, very well known. He's the financial services practice leader at KPMG. He's also an appointed actuary to a life company and very well known for the KPMG experience studies. I think between them they've got close to 40 years of group risk experience. Rod's going to speak first, and then James. Probably there'll be a presentation for around about 35 or 40 minutes, followed up by some questions.
Look, thanks everybody for coming along. it's good to see so many people interested in this paper. There have been some comments about misleading advice, so I'd like to say that for those who've turned up on the basis of the synopsis, there's been a bit of a change since then, particularly in the title, which you'll no doubt notice straight away. we are still looking at the insurance cycle, and that's by way of the economic correlations, but the comparisons with it, well, the other trends in the group market are more looking at trends in other markets and whether this phenomenon is found in other markets. I'm told you should have a bit of a joke in every presentation, but I know actuaries like to do their own research, so see me afterwards. I'll give you a few websites you can find your own. And at the outset, I also will apologise just to David Service, whose paper's actually become, I guess, an integral foundation of this presentation. In the synopsis also, we did comment that we weren't aware of other papers, at least not in the group market. At the time, that was true, but David did do a very good paper on this sort of topic for the retail disability experience. So with that, I'll just make a start. So we look at David's paper and some of the findings from that. We then look at the international experience. Then I'll hand over to James for a rundown of the KPMG group life experience and a bit of analysis of workers' compensation. So David Service presented, and Karen Ferris presented at the convention in 2001. They looked at economic correlations with incidence rates, duration, and the percentage of people disabled in the economy. In the Australian nation. That was government pensioners. And they derived correlations and did a whole series of analysis on a wide range of economic variables to those types of experience. They also reviewed other analysis in Australia, Canada, the USA and UK. They did find that there was significant economic correlations, but like you'd all sort of be aware, the exact causal link of those is still unclear, and they identified that as needing further research. And in fact, our paper also finds that going right down to what the causes of these correlations are is quite an extensive topic, probably worthy of PhD research, and it's not something that we're able to achieve within this paper. But certainly for those interested, and certainly myself, I'm thinking of going into this further, so I think it is worthy of further exploration. They also considered alternative explanations for the correlations, and whilst they came up with those being sort of plausible, they found that didn't dispel the economic correlations. Okay, so up on this somewhat compact slide, I've got the range of economic variables considered by Service and Ferris. A lot of them are co-correlated, so the fact that there are correlations with quite a wide number of them is not necessarily significant on its own, because of course if they're co-correlated, if one variable is a strong indicator, then others will be also. You can possibly see the faint blue. Those are the main variables that Service and Ferris found correlations to, so consumer confidence, participation, long-term unemployment, though also unemployment itself, GDP and bankruptcies. Now, the other colours, basically the light yellow is particularly quite strongly correlated to the mid-yellow, which is also correlated to the orange as well, and then the pinks are negatively correlated to the other variables. So you can see that, and basically Service and Ferris took the position that understanding the economy was quite a wide-ranging topic, and therefore the more variables they looked at, they felt that gave better representation of the correlations. But like other studies, they found that really unemployment, consumer confidence and GDP were the main indicators. So the other analysis they reviewed, they looked at the Disability Committee report in 1993, which did itself comment on correlations with the economy. But they noted at the time that, of course, we were in a recession and were just coming out of a recession, and experience had been worsening, and so people were obviously keen to attribute that to something. But there wasn't a lot of statistical analysis as to exactly the extent of those correlations. They looked at claim durations, which were lengthening, and they cited some of the weaker or weakening policy definitions and other factors, but without extensive statistical analysis. In Canada, the Department of Human Resources looked at this element briefly, but not extensively. They were able to find increasing percentage of disabled lives over time, which is similar to other countries. And of course, prospects were strongly related to the age of people at disability. In the USA, back in 1977, which of course is a fair while away now, Doudna found strong correlation to unemployment and consumer sentiment, looking at group long-term disability claims. Following that, in 1994, Lentz and Green found that GDP unemployment and sales were also strong indicators. The UK was inconclusive, and I'll come to that myself in some analysis I've done, Habman, Walsh and Renshaw. In particular, the problem with the UK experience analysis is that it's through the Committee for Continuous Mortality Investigation reports, the data's averaged over 4 years, and it's very hard when you're looking at economic correlations, which are, of course, happening much more quickly than that, to find correlations when you're looking at four-year aggregated data. But amongst all of these reports, unemployment was a consistent indicator of these correlations, and that's something we're going to take up in comparisons with other countries. And then James will look at some broader economic factors in relation to the Australian group market. So here is a graph that I've made up comparing Service and Ferris disability claims with the Australian unemployment rate, 78 to 95. And you will see that they do certainly seem to closely track each other, albeit that there's a divergence in the mid-early 90s. Now, what I've put up next is the... after looking at the correlation and just coming up with a linear relationship, the dotted red line there is the transformed unemployment rate, if we were then trying to use that as a predictor of DI incidence. You'll see that that's, even though it comes close to a lot of the values over time, it's obviously a lot more of a mid-level line, and there's significant deviations either side of that line over time. So whilst it shows the indications, the correlations, it's not a good predictor of the eye experience. If that's transformed into two periods, then we do get a much closer match. But of course the problem is how do you know exactly when you've moved from one period and one relationship to the next? I've just split this in equally into halves. It may be that a 10-year period is about the limit of the extent of the relationship, but of course it's too early to say that for certain. Here's some of the correlation factors, which you'll see are actually quite low. And so that's despite the graph showing some closeness. As I said, it improves over the sub-periods, but even then the differences range plus or minus 15%. So if you're doing a pricing exercise, then that's not a very good, particularly in the group market, not a very good range because of the high levels of premium involved in those transactions. I must say, though, that Service and Ferris did obtain much better correlations using multilinear regression, which is something we haven't done here. The other factors they considered, probably most of you would be familiar with these sort of influences on claims. Of course, sales pressure, weakening underwriting, overstretched claims management, people being aware of the cover, and of course buying it in order to facilitate a claim if they need it, so moral hazard there and anti-selection. Changing work ethic, and of course that involves also the increased casualisation of the workforce, and then more liberal definitions and other policy terms. However, these are steady ongoing effects, and so going back to the previous slides, they would not explain the sort of volatility that we've seen in the experience over time. And in fact, on this graph, the DI experience does seem to have a fairly level trend and not necessarily a long-term worsening trend. And of course, trying to measure the influence of these items statistically would be a pretty big challenge. It's hard enough to collect DI data purely looking at incidents over exposure, let alone trying to look at the effect of policy terms. And besides that, there's no reason why these effects can't be taking place together over time. So I'll now have a look at the international experience. This is experience in Canada over the period 82 to 06. One thing, by the way, that's been commented is that looking over short time periods can be unreliable because there can seem to be a correlation. So we have tried to look at fairly long time periods to capture both the ups and downs in the economic cycle. Of course, if claims happen to be worsening when there's a recession, or if claims are getting better and there's a positive economy, those on their own are not such strong indicators. So what we see here, this is taken from Great West Life Disability Experience, their claims paid index. They hold over 50% of the Canadian market, so it's reasonably well representative of experience in that country. And again, you see a fairly close alignment between the unemployment and disability experience there. And here is the whole period trend rate, and then split into sub-periods. So again, the sub-period graph does get closer. The correlations here are a lot better than for the Australian market. And the differences here range only from plus or minus 10%, but that's still a significant pricing variation. We looked at New Zealand ACC experience. Here there's, I guess, less of a closeness in the graph, and it's interesting to note that the trend in ACC experience, which is, of course, accident-only claims, is pretty flat for the first half of the period, then goes through a downward trend and then stays pretty flat after that. So it's a fairly unusual pattern, and you'll see that we don't draw any strong conclusions from that. There's the whole period fitted line, and then, of course, when you split it into sub-periods, you get a very good match simply because of the change in the two, the way the experience varies over those two periods. The correlations are a bit worse than Canada, but slightly better than Australia. As I said, accidental claims possibly not expected to follow the economy, although there may be some pressure on workers to cut corners in when there's scarce employment. As I said, though, the strong relationship of that second line is most likely an aberration. You'll see that the X coefficients are very low, which means really it's just ruling those out and taking a flat trend. And then here's the UK slides. Now, this you can see the spread over the four-year periods. It's quite hard to tell anything much there. So it's, they've looked here at some claim duration effects, so one-week claims and four-week claims. It doesn't really get a lot better over either of those. And I've looked at the correlations for 1 week. It's only 25%. For 4 week, it's actually negative 11. So no firm conclusions there. And as I said before, previous papers, Habman and Walsh and Renshaw, have found uncertain results from this analysis. Basically, the four-year period is masking any short-term effects. And so with that, I'll pass over to James, who'll look at the KPMG experience.
All right, thanks, everyone. Just a quick overview of the Group Life Claims Experience Survey for those who don't know it. It looks at six-monthly insured claims periods in the Australian superannuation market. Doesn't look at industry funds. It's just standalone corporate schemes and corporate schemes within master trusts. In the regression analysis we've done that comes out of this work, there's a few things to keep in mind. The survey is on a claims paid basis, so it's not claims incurred. So it's not a perfect period match against what we're looking at. As Rod mentioned, there's been some changes over the period, changes in reporting, payment speeds. There's also a change in the underlying composition of people in the survey. From time to time, companies do drop in or drop out of the survey or come into the survey. It's been pretty consistent around 80 to 85% of the market, but there has been some changes which can influence the analysis. There's also has been change in terms and conditions in terms of claimable events, and I guess there has been sort of change in sort of natures of benefits as well. And the study, like any study, has had its history of data errors and corrections which have gone from some period to the other. But let's see. There's some graphs just showing, as I said, we're going to look at principally the factors which David Service analysed in his paper and see how they've gone through the group life TPD market, unemployment being the most pivotal one. While we've got data up until 2007, we haven't shown any of that data just to keep that confidential for all of the contributors to the survey. But we do go back to the period of 1991. We also look at the long-term unemployment rate. Long-term is basically the definition for all the slack asses out there in the society. These are people who have been unemployed for more than 52 weeks. So we've had a look at the correlations there as well. The analysis that in the last two graphs is aggregate, so it's all sexes combined. And there's the correlations that come out of it and the regression parameters. You can see that in the bottom line there, just the correlations for unemployment and long-term unemployment are both very strong at correlation factor is around 0.7. The participation rate obviously is negative, being a reciprocal sort of relationship to the unemployment rate. Some things that do come out which aren't the most, I guess they're a check on the reliability of the results, is when the relationship to consumer confidence and business confidence is reciprocal. We would expect them to be in the same relationship. And that's just some comments on those slides. It's also worth turning to have a look at how the results vary by sex. So we've plotted the results looking by male as well as by female. The female rate obviously seems to diverge a little bit more there in the results. And if we look at the results which are coming out, you can see that the correlations for males seem to be a lot stronger than the females in the industry. Correlation 0.75 for male versus correlation of female 0.61. We can only speculate why this may happen. If we think about some of the analysis we do in the group life survey in general, we do look at the ratio of blue-collar to white-collar mortality, and some of that blue-collar, some of those ratios have decreased over time. And if we think about potentially that the male workforce has a higher percentage of blue-collar than the female workforce, that could be one of the reasons which is contributing to the greater correlation that's coming through there. It's just a different underlying composition between the sexes of the workforce. All right, briefly, I'll have a look at workers' compensation statistics as well. And the reason, I guess, why we look at workers' comp in this nature, ideally we would have loved to have continued the David Service paper up until the current date, but disability experience hasn't been most forthcoming through the Institute Experience Study. So we've cast our net as wide as we can to see what we've got in terms of statistics coming out. Now, the first thing we have to keep in mind is if workers' comp, or how actually correlated is it to life-insured claims experience to start with? And the easiest way that we've had a look at it is workers' comp statistics, and one of the reasons we look at it is they're available by industry group. So as a quick check, we've had a look at the industry group for, say, construction, and compared the correlation of that to a very well-known industry fund that works in the construction industry, and found the correlation factor was about 0.83. So as a proxy, workers' comp statistics on the whole seem a reasonable indication of what insured claims experience may be. The other reason for looking at them is that experience is available in a lot different subdivisions, so by injury types. And there's just also a lot larger volume of statistics in the workers' comp field. And we've seen the volatility that came out in some of Rod's graphs just shows some of the questions about the reliability of the insured lives correlation. So that's why we've looked here. In the analysis, workers' compensation is only run on a state basis. So rather than combining all five or six states in the country, we've just looked at the New South Wales workers' comp and taken as a proxy for the Australian workers' comp. There are a few other things to keep in mind whenever you do analysis of workers' comp is that there's been a raft of initiatives that have been put in place which can target different sectors, but also just give rise to the fact that we don't necessarily have a constant experience group to compare when we're looking at this analysis. And something which is going to be very key to some of the graphs you'll see is workers' comp's actually changed its benefits over the nature of this analysis. Most notably, to try and control claims costs, there's been whole lots of efforts to curb the impact of lawyers and courts. So there was restrictions of access to commutations and common law claims. They're the types of workers' comp injury types which are analysed underneath the broad heading of employment injuries. The three which we've looked at is workplace injuries, occupational diseases, and work-related injuries to get a feeling if there's any different experience for those three. And it can give us indications of perhaps looking which different sectors may be more exposed to movements in the economy. At a high level, there's our tracking of workers' comp employment injury rates versus unemployment rates, which seems to be a lovely smooth progression down, which is no real surprise to us. And they're the analysis of the results which are coming out. I'll put at the bottom of the top table. I've put the bottom table, which was the table we saw earlier from just looking at the KPMG group life experience study in the loan. And we can see that in the workers' comp, the correlation for unemployment was running at 87%, very consistent with what was coming out of the KPMG TPD experience, which was running at 0.74, 0.72. But pleasingly enough, a lot of the factors right across the board are consistent between the KPMG Group Life Survey as well as the workers' comp, even the apparent, confusing signals of consumer confidence going the same or the opposite direction to business confidence. In terms of looking at the individual types of workers' comp employment injuries, just a quick note that one of the most apparent strange things coming up on that graph is the little light blue line that deviates up and then comes down. During the period, workers' comp weakened the definition for deafness claims and they went through the roof, so to speak. So they actually rechanged the definition back to something similar to what it was, which brought that down. So that's a little bit of the apparent divergence there in that nature of the claim. But otherwise, we can see that the benefits are all moving in the same direction. And there's some of the results which are coming out. Some of the most apparent things is just looking at that the regression parameter for something like workplace injuries, which is at 0.99, sort of showing that they're nearly running one for one, whereas non-workplace injuries completely uncorrelated, which is a lovely sort of confirmation of the validity of our study potentially, although we would think that non-workplace injuries still can have the strength of the economy can still have an effect on the so-called subjective claims to a certain extent. Now, all of the previous analysis was based on incidents. The workers' comp statistics are also available by the duration of claim. So we've had a look at the length of claim relative to the economic indicators as well, and the results are rather horrible in terms of the reliability of the predictive power. And I guess if we consider that what's gone on, some of that is consistent with what we've said, that there was massive changes in the nature of the workers' comp scheme that tried to restrict the commutation of benefits and the access to common law, which just meant that people stayed on weekly income benefits a lot longer in the workers' comp regime, so it's lengthened the claim. So at a period where potentially we'd expect claims durations to be coming down as the economy strengthened, all we're seeing is that blowout. So the change in terms and conditions of the scheme has really affected the quality of that analysis. We do see the injury duration follows a very nice line compared to bankruptcies, but I'm not quite sure about the reliability of bankruptcies as a predictor in this analysis. So they're the correlation factors for duration, which I won't dwell on because I don't think they're reliable given the underlying changes. The other aspect which we've looked at is just to again have a look at the analysis by sex, and we can see that the male seems to track a lot stronger compared to the female rate, and that's come through a lot more apparent in the workers' comp statistics than it did in the underlying KPMG group life survey. That we can see if we think about the regression parameter of 1 compared to for females of 0.58, but more apparent is just even the reliability. If we look at the R squared for 0.21 for females and a 0.8 for males. One of the things which we hoped would come out and show us may give us some better predictive power in how we should potentially price our portfolios going forward is to have a look at how the experience might vary by industry. Now, a lot of people in the group insurance industry will take into account potentially the quality, or not the quality, the nature of the group or the industry when they're thinking about how they may be exposed to the economy. So we've had a look at this graph just ranks the correlations or the regression parameters, which is the influence of the economy on the different sectors. And if you actually spend some time, I won't go through too much in this presentation, and thinking about how different sectors may be influenced, the order's not always quite that intuitive to what you would expect. And when we have a look at, that's the same order for the industries, it shows how they vary by duration. Because we don't have the same sort of pattern coming through, now I know there's question marks about the duration effects before, but unless I could really sit down and think about the changes in workers' comp scheme would affect different industries differently, because I don't have the same pattern coming through in my effect on incidence versus the effect on duration, it does perhaps question the reliability of the analysis. This is just looking at the, in terms of reliability factors, looking at the R squared. If we look at that sorting by industry, and that we change it from incidence to duration, again, the factors don't follow the same even sort of spread. That's just some spread analysis just showing the different... if we can see that a minimum of 0.08 versus a maximum of 0.79, if we could believe the reliability of those results, there's potential implications in there. If you think that the economy is in a bit of a state of flux at the moment and potential to go in an adverse direction, should we start trying to weight our group life portfolios to different sections of the community to essentially immunise it against changes in claims experience is an interesting observation that is worthwhile. The duration we won't dwell on. And then I've got my lovely consultant slide that we always put up saying everything that I've just talked about is not my fault. And we've just got a few acknowledgements. So I just wouldn't mind opening it up to the floor in terms of discussion at this stage.
We do have a roving mic. If I could remind people to introduce themselves. Everything's been recorded, so we're keen to get everybody's names.
I was interested in the female, why it's not very well correlated to the unemployment index, even though the males were, and I was wondering if you had looked at whether it's a paucity of data issue?
In terms of paucity of data, looking at the workers' comp stats, there's just volumes and volumes and volumes of this. No issues with the number of claims coming through there, or even in the KPMG survey, since it's over like a 15-year period. There's fine in terms of the adequacy of claims. The only speculation that we can just make is, and a lot of this was similar to people's observations about why disability experience was different between retail disability and GSC and potentially the economy. If you look at retail disability, is a lot of the perceptions is the market is potentially more self-employed persons versus persons working for companies. It's potentially the same sort of consistency that market is a lot more blue-collar and a lot more exposed to economic variations. And in that industry, it is generally considered, when you break up the workers' comp stats, there's just a higher percentage of males that work in blue-collar occupations versus white-collar. So it's probably just a little bit more than, I guess, it's consistent with the anecdotal support for that sort of thought. But there could be other reasons we're not sure.
Thanks. Lindsay Smart. James, I just wondered whether you had looked at a lag impact between the economic indicators and that emerging in the claims experience. In my experience, that can occur, and just looking at some of the charts that you put up there, I only sort of could eyeball them very quickly, but it looked like they might have displayed, you know, if you actually shifted the economic indicator, you know, one or two or three periods, you might get even closer alignment between the claims rates.
Yeah, look, I think that's quite true. We have a little bit of that coming through in the KPMG statistics because they're on a claims paid basis, and even the workers' comp. When you do all of the analysis on workers' comp, it's a mixture of claims notified rather than actual claims incurred as well. Things are never tracked back too much in the individual year. I'd have to say I agree, Lindsay. We haven't done too much analysis in that area, but when we have played around with some of the graphs, and all the graphs were basically just indexed to the starting point, and if that starting point was a little bit of a low or high value, it can sort of throw some of those graphs out. But the slopes of them are fairly consistent, but you can see some of the slopes would obviously be better if they got just tracked across one or two periods. I think one of the other aspects which comes out of, which sort of confused me a little bit, if you're thinking about lags as well, is the, you're looking at the correlations with the consumer confidence index and the business confidence index. Some of that should be a lot stronger in terms of bringing out some of those lag effects as well. But they just didn't seem to have much correlation at all. And that was consistent, I think, with the service paper?
Yeah. Service and Ferris also commented on the possibility of lagged effects, and some of the other authors had looked at lagged effects and found some strengthening of the correlations in some areas, but in others no significant change. I think one indicator where a lagged effect is most likely coming through is possibly the relationship between long-term unemployment, duration of claim, I mean, and bankruptcy. Obviously, the longer a person is on claim, the more likely their financial situation is to deteriorate. So that may also be a cause.
Eddie Perez, January. I don't know if you've got data or you've got impressions about cause of claim and the correlations here, whether it's... I'm actually surprised with accident-type claims that there's such a huge correlation on the workers' comp thing, so I don't know whether it's other things happening in the workplace, workplace safety. But accident claims versus stress, mental illness-type claims and the correlations?
On the disability claims that I looked at, there's not enough information at this stage to go down to the causal level. I guess there's a big picture comment, as you mentioned, the fact that there's a similar pattern between accidental claims and sickness claims for various causes is an indicator that may cross some of those. But I believe you're right. I mean, fundamentally, stress and other types of claims would be expected to be more strongly correlated.
And just looking sort of at the results up there, like the occupational diseases, which sort of covers a lot of the stress type claims within the workers' comp environment, has a lower correlation to the economy than what does workplace injuries, which is potentially a little bit counter to our experience in the insured lives market about how those claims do arise.
Matt Noyce, CommInsure. Where you looked at the some of the correlations of workers' compensation incidents with unemployment, I think there was a slide where you had it by industry. Could you pick out a few of the key industries where there was the sort of the strongest correlation there?
So the regression parameter is the influence of a move in unemployment on the movement in sort of workers' comp experience, and the R squared is the reliability of those indicators. So probably if we just jump back to that one, I don't know how well they can be read at the back, Matt. Okay, well, I'll just read across from the left. Government and defence is the most left. Then we go to transport, agriculture, retail trade, construction, recreational, health, manufacturing, mining, which I thought mining would be a lot more of a, I guess, influenced by the economy and be a lot further up to the left. Business services, personal, utilities, communication, finance, wholesale trade, accommodation and retail, and education. Some of the white-collar industries, finance and personal communications, are to the far right, maybe because they've had relatively low rates of unemployment throughout the whole period. Not quite as surprising, I guess, in some of those conclusions, but I definitely thought, well, I haven't been that close to the mining boom, but I thought mining would be a little bit more influenced by the rate of... because this analysis was over about a 14-year period.
One question from me. Obviously, unemployment is a key driver of the low disability rates. I wondered what other factors, perhaps some of the very good work of the workers' comp authorities, perhaps a shadow effect from some of the very severe recessions that have cleaned out less healthy workers. Do you have views on what other factors are really driving these very low rates?
Yeah, thanks, Robin. Look, similarly to the changes in policy terms and conditions and other things, certainly, as you mentioned, things like workplace safety has been steadily improving over time. Medical advances in treatments have been improving over time, and other lifestyle factors, the general standard of living and so forth has been steadily increasing over time. So we believe that those things definitely drive a fundamental improvement in the experience, and to the extent that they are semi-permanent influences, they may mitigate the reversal once the economy downturns, but we don't believe they explain the fluctuation in experience over that period.
Some of the other things, if you have a chance and you just want to get an idea of some of the influences on claims experience, it's not always apparent just from our life insurance perspective. If you read through the workers' compensation annual reports, they give a lot of information about the sort of initiatives that they carry out, which obviously affect our claims. All sorts of programs that they carry out, like falls from heights or dealing with explosives or transport in the workplace. Generally, they're targeted on the three biggest sectors in the New South Wales economy. This is just focusing on the New South Wales sector, and that's construction, I think it's agriculture, forestries and fisheries, and the third one slips me from the moment. But one of the other aspects I find which is a useful indicator, try and get an idea of how much the effect of work cover, the New South Wales work cover body, may influence just the overall claims experience, is to have a look at their staffing levels and how that's changed, and the number of safety inspectors that they've got on their booked. I think it's interesting just to have a look at how those numbers have changed as a percentage of the workforce, because there was a ramp up some time back and they've generally held about the same level and haven't changed a lot. But the level, it comes down to, there's a lot of workplace inspectors that go out and do site reports on various places, which certainly can make a difference in terms of the safety of these places.
Another question from me. Historically, certain industries have been much more cyclic, particularly the multi-sector industry funds with small engineering companies. They have, the claims rates have been more like sine curves, and the building sectors. Looking at that graph over there, I wondered what your views were in terms of, as a group risk insurer, what should we be insuring and what should we not be insuring?
Well, I think one of the obvious ones is, if everyone's, whoever's quoted on an industry fund to cover the construction industry, would have to be the most paranoid about construction being one of the lead indicators of the economy. Everyone's worried about repricing these schemes at the moment on what that means. On those graphs, construction is 5 from the left, so a reasonable predictor of, or influenced by the economy. Construction's obviously have to be one of the lead ones there, but some of the other ones, agriculture, I guess, can be directly related to the terms of trade, droughts, everything else going on in the economy quite strongly as well. The other industries in that top 5 on the left is retail trade, which again is probably the most, you'd think, be the most closely linked to the economy. And the transport sectors and government and defence are the two on the left, which I'm not sure if anyone from the floor has any thoughts why they might be more than retail trade and construction and agriculture.
And just to comment on, I guess, agriculture, there's been a steady trend, as I'm sure many of you are aware, of urbanisation of the workforce, a lot of people moving from rural centres to the cities, and a significant long-term fundamental downturn in the, or certainly parts of the agricultural sector. There's also been a strong link between that and suicide rates. So that's probably one to note for Robin's question. And the other thing I was going to say, mining, I guess, I don't know about the sort of 90s, but my observation more recently is that it has tended to be a bit counter-cyclical to the rest of the economy. We've possibly had some economic tension in other sectors, but mining, of course, is strongly booming, which might explain the lower correlation there.
Another question.
Just quickly, the first slide, look at the incidence, the number of claims by the different sectors. This shows the duration of claim by the different sectors, which, if we took a lot out of the conclusions of the first slide, and some of them seem quite reasonable, if we jump into this particular one, I guess just the movement of the answers all over the place in a different order does question some of the statistical analysis underneath the first one. Although it might just say that the different industries have their different impacts, but obviously length of claim can vary between different industries, as we all know.
Jeff Humphreys. It is part of this tied up in the fact that unemployment varies by sector, and mining hasn't had a severe unemployment problem for a lot of years, so you wouldn't expect that to be picked up. And I don't know if it's possible to get unemployment by sector and then try and do all your graphs all over again with sector-specific unemployment rates.
Yeah, I'd have to say that's exactly right, Jeff, in terms of trying to understand how the analysis is exactly. Does that mean then when we price all of our funds going forward that we should be looking at unemployment by sector and getting a little bit more information than we do, which is potentially not a bad idea? I know there is some things when you do price industry funds or corporate schemes, it's quite good to look at occupational health and safety records of individual schemes as well, because I think that's quite a strong indicator of the profitability of a company, of the pay rates, and what that actually means for people's incentives to sort of stay in workforces as well. I don't know if anyone's actually aware of if they break unemployment rates that well down to sectors.
There is some good employment data by sector, but I guess to think of the unemployment rate by sector, my immediate reaction is that you actually need to know what sector people are looking for jobs in, which is obviously a bit difficult. But employment levels by sector, and if unemployment is negatively correlated to the employment level, then that could be an indicator that's worth looking at.
Just quickly before you jump in, Trevor, I guess maybe one of the aspects you need to look at, if we can't get, that's right, people are not necessarily unemployed in an industry. They might be unemployed across several industries they could work in. Maybe employment growth might be one of the things we try and look at by sector to try and find the strength of that particular industry. I think David Service's paper looked at the ANZ job ad index, was that right?
Yes, it did look at job ads. And I guess a further comment on that, the variables on that slide with all the economic factors that Service and Ferris looked at, the ones that weren't coloured, they actually dispensed with because they found no significant correlation. So yes, they looked at job ads, but found no significant result.
Trevor McMahon. From all the evidence, it seems as if there is a strong correlation between unemployment and claim rates. And as we've seen unemployment coming down in the last, up to 10 years, I guess that's good news because claim rates have certainly come down. I've just got a question on the actual original topic for the paper, the insurance cycle. Is there an insurance cycle in there in that... We're seeing lower claim rates, so some of that would be going back into pricing, so we're seeing better prices. We're seeing probably more generous DI definitions and TPD definitions, probably better treatment of casuals and part-timers, miscellaneous benefits also thrown in. So as part of the insurance cycle, are we seeing a lot of that being passed back to consumers and not getting windfall profits coming through?
Thanks, Trevor. Look, speaking from the group market, certainly pricing has quite dramatically sharpened over recent periods. We're also seeing, I guess, new entrants coming into the market on the back of the positive cycle that we've been seeing. And definitely, yes, there's more liberal terms being applied to schemes. You mentioned casuals, contractors. And definitions, certainly also the range of options available under automatic cover is becoming wider. IP covers being introduced into that range of sort of menu options for schemes that previously didn't have that available, at least not on an automatic basis. So yes, you're absolutely right. There's a whole number of things. I liken a bit to the share market. People, when prices have been climbing well for a number of years, people will think that's the time to get in. But of course, it's also the time to be very, very wary.
The one other aspect I'd just like to make is, you know, for all of us who are looking after employers as their advisor, we can't see employment getting lower, and the budget forecasts are it's going to increase in terms of the unemployment rate. Definitely, the question would have to be that it would seem that claims pricing is at the bottom. Everyone is fairly hard in terms of margins at the moment. 20%, you know, of premium profit margins have disappeared now. The question would have to be, well, even if appointed actuaries are here oversighting their group actuaries, how much or where is the pricing relative to how the claims experience may go? So some of this, well, I guess everyone obviously knew there was some influence of the economy on claims. If we think about the unemployment or the economy seems to only be going one way, bar movements in the terms of trade being a good prospect, now, what difference are we going to make going forward? Are we going to get in early, or is this going to be the next 1990s disability problem for the industry? Or even a few other aspects, like how much should we take this into account in pricing three-year rate guarantees, or even profit-sharing formula, which most people seem to price on the basis of a constant claims rate rather than a, you know, an underlying moving target?
Well, if there are no more questions, if I could... obviously, we've had a great presentation. It's very relevant to many insurers right now. If I could ask you to thank our two presenters.